All right, would you join me in the book of Psalms this evening? Before we pray, we'll look into this portion of Scripture, Psalm 1. We're going to the very beginning. Psalm 1, we'll read it. It's only 6 verses long. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Past couple of Sunday evenings, Jeff has been reminding us that there's a full body of theology in the Psalms, and he's planning, I take it from last Sunday night, to teach on eschatology some. Well, did you notice that verse 5 took us all the way to the end there? We have the judgment. He speaks about wicked not standing in the judgment, and sinners will not stand in the assembly of the righteous. Well, as you look at this psalm, the Hebrew hymn book opens with a beatitude, doesn't it? And then you realize that Jesus' ministry, at least according to Matthew, as it opens there with the Sermon on the Mount, which itself begins with beatitudes, that was not a novel thing for a Hebrew or a Jew to be teaching in this way. It seems that God's people have been dealing like this and speaking like this for centuries. And this, I don't know, this could be 3,000 years old, this composition, or give or take. And it's a beatitude. This book of anthems begins with this beatitude. How blessed is the man who. It's always been our when we started the beatitudes in the book of Matthew, 10 weeks ago, it was our idea that we would continue on and jump into other places and see that that the scriptures have much to say about this blessed man or this blessed woman. Well, there's an obvious contrast here in this psalm, isn't there? There's an either or that you just can't get around. Verse 6 says, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." It's this or that. It's yes or no. It's black or white. You are numbered among the righteous, or you're not standing in the judgment. You are one of the wicked. That's the scripture has this really black and white way of looking at humanity, doesn't it? It does. Now, I think that there's an interesting progression in this first verse. You see a man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. And I think that what I seem to see in this is sort of a downward progression among the unrighteous, that they have been counseled from somewhere. And where do you think the wicked get their counsel? Well, they get it from one another, obviously. It is the counsel of the wicked, and they share this amongst themselves. But this comes from somewhere, doesn't it? The father of lies, the one who in the very beginning, the first time we meet him, he's saying, "Hey, you know, that tree's not so bad. Don't you think it's desirable? Don't you think it's a little bit unkind of God to insist, you know?" And he's counseling. He's giving counsel to our first parents. And unfortunately, they take it. Well, I would too. Let me not just cast stones at Adam and Eve. Had I had been there, perfect as God had made them, I probably would have done the very same thing. So I understand the strength of this council, and it persists today. What makes a madman want to bomb a hospital, a maternity hospital at that? He's being counseled from something, by something. Now, the council leads these certain ones into a certain kind of walk, and the second line describes this like a path. These sinners have a path. They go this way. They're so conditioned and so believing this that off they go. Until it results in this, and I think this is a fascinating way to put it, to sit in the seat of scoffers. That's a settled position, isn't it? If you're walking and then standing and finally you're seated there. You have come to the point where it's a settled conviction for you. This is what I will do. I'm taking my seat in this opinion. I am fixed in this. But now this blessed man, you see, the first part of this is negative, isn't it? When Jesus taught, he said, blessed is the man who, and you've got someone who is merciful, someone who is a peacemaker, someone who is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You're looking at the man in a positive way. But here we're looking at a man in a negative way because he has turned his back, she has turned her back to these things that we see in this progression. This one does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. This one does not stand in the path of a sinner. She hasn't taken his or her seat with the scoffers right there. Okay, so that's the negative side. Is there a positive? Absolutely. But his delight, verse 2, he delights in something. There is this... Do you have a taste for something? Oh, autobiography. Billy said, do you want scrambled eggs or pancakes? Well, then she said, blueberry pancakes. That's it. I delight in certain things. You delight in certain things. Your tastes pull you in certain ways. And this individual here, we've already seen him. He's not walking, standing, or sitting. With these others, see, it's two paths here. One's narrow and one's wide, and there's a lot of people on this wide path. And this other one over here is kind of narrow and maybe a little overgrown because there's not a lot of people on it. But there's something that drives him, puts him there. He delights in something. His tastes run in a certain direction. His wishes, his wanter is geared towards something. Now, look at this. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I was thinking about how many times I have read God's law and not grasped it fully until someone has said along the way, you know what that means when it says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? And I'm thinking, what? It just means that the Old Testament is kind of vindictive and full of retribution. This person says, no, it's mercy. God is putting a limit on man's vindictiveness. He would say, okay, you plucked out my eye, I'm going to cut off your head. He said, no, it's an eye for an eye. That's as far as you can go. It's putting a limit on the expression of our sense of wrath and malice. Does that make sense to you? You know, someone broke into my house, so I'm gonna kill his daughter. No. The scripture says eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You know, this is as far as you can go. My point that I'm making on this is I'd missed all that. But the man who sits there and thinks on these things, the man who ponders this, the man who says, why did God say this? What did he mean by this? What was his thinking on this? He gets past the mere legalism of the outward, and he starts saying, what's the heart of this? What's on the inside of this? And this entire book is like that. It has a heart. It has a revelation of God to it. It's not just do this and don't do that. It is a revelation of our Heavenly Father. It is a revelation of His heart, of His love, of His kindness, of His justice, yes, but His mercy as well. And we can find it, we can experience this and realize this when we start meditating on it. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He has found it to be, in other words, delightful. Ah, I see it all this time. I've missed that. What else have I missed? Well, let's go find. Let's go see. Oh my, look at that. And so this person goes. That is what it seems to be as you look at this psalm. This is what is keeping his feet or her feet from being on this other path. He's not walking in the counsel of the wicked. He's not standing in the path of the sinner. He is not sitting down there with the scoffers because God's word is speaking to him. Oh, and he's in it. He is in it. As I look, I tell you, verse 2 is convicting to me because it indicates that I am a child of my age, which means I have a taste for a lot of different things. And the scriptures is part of it, but not all of it. And that's terribly, I'm being terribly honest with you. But I don't want to be a child of this age. How about you? I want to be a child of the age to come. I want to stand not in the path of the sinner. I want to stand in the assembly of the righteous. I want to stand there with the saints of old who've gotten the word of God into their hearts and into their minds, and it's got a hold of them, and it keeps them, and it's kept them all their ways, and it showed them the pitfalls on this side and the deep quagmire on that side of the path, and it's guided their steps every way. And, what is the blessing here besides that? Verse 3, blessed is the man who does this, because or for he will. There's a formula. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. We have a number of windows in our house. And it was our delight initially when we put the house there that every window there was a dogwood tree outside that window. That just means our house was surrounded by dogwoods. And they're all gone. That's sad, isn't it? It took them a long time, but the biggest one finally gave up the ghost last year. Why? Not enough water. I didn't have the ability to water every single one. But now if you are planted by a stream, you have no need for someone to run a hose out to your roots. You have no need to cry out, even in times of drought, oh God, send us rain. I mean, it's a lovely thing to pray. But if you're right there, you are going to live. And you look at this and it's yielding its fruit in the season. Its leaf does not wither. You look at that thing and say, what a marvelous specimen. What a beautiful, gloriously strong tree, forgetting all the time that its roots go down and tap into the limitless supply of that life-giving water. Now that's the picture that the psalmist uses for the fellow who delights in the law of God. Oh, let's not be like my dogwoods. And just, you know, you cut the overstory out and you leave them to the full fury of the East Texas sun and down they eventually go. You can't help in this world feeling the things that we feel and seeing the things that we see and experiencing what we can experience, but we can be right there by the stream and it's running. Right here, isn't it? Let's pray.